while we worship God. And you receive a word from God. Hallelujah. You can write it down. But make sure it's from God. Don't try to sound spiritual. We will know if God spoke from what you have written. If God spoke, you can write it down. You can write it down. It will be clear that God has spoken from what you have written. Yes, so if you have written it, ushers, help me. Because a lot happened beyond what I could perceive in the spirit. Especially if the matter is not personal. It's the word of God to the church. Amen. Don't worry, the Lord will still be working. The fact that we are you'll be working. All these ones, God didn't speak to them. I'm looking for the word. God spoke to this one. But this is not all. This is the beginning of the message. It's the beginning of the message. It's the body of the message I'm looking for. Because those days in Rama, what used to happen is that people that were gifted in stringing the instruments, the harp, the string instruments, the prophets would gather them and they would begin to play. The prophets would be praying. It's in those places that direction for nations came. It's in those places that strategies for warfare were born. That was why in the days of Samuel, the Philistines did not attempt to attack Israel. It's the same kind of thing that was done in the book of Acts, the Apostle chapter 13. They went to a place and they were ministering unto the Lord in their fast. The same thing. The Holy Ghost. He did what? He spoke. Wait, don't worry. We don't need too much. I'm here. I'm looking for... Okay, this is part of it. But this is not what I'm looking for. This one is from God. But this is not what I'm looking for. I heard that I've come to visit my people. Then I saw like families were running out of caves, looking terrible. And then they were clothed with new garments. I know this one happened today. But this, okay, for your information, this thing happened. But this is not the one I'm looking for. New garments. This one happened today. But this is not what I'm looking for. We don't need to a prophecy to know that we were visited. We don't need a prophecy. We all bask in the visitation. It's the interpretation of the visitation that we are looking for. Yes, I found one of the things I'm looking for. Don't just write. I don't want us to laugh. That's why I know. I'm protecting you from. All right, let me. This is. I was supposed to lecture today on how to judge a prophecy. Before we overtake, the evangelist came and he stirred the waters and he wanted to interpret the stirring, and that's how we got here. Hallelujah. We wanted to actually articulate, discern how God speaks, especially when he is addressing the congregation of his people. It's a high thing in the spirit for God to come and address his people. That's why the gift of prophecy is a significant open door that the church must allow open so that God can have access to speak not through a preacher, but speak his words through a vocal cord. Paul said, despise not prophecy. The prophecies I rejected, it's not as if they are not inspired. I think about two of them are not inspired. The person just felt like one said, pray for people going for service. It's like the Lord said, pray for people going for service. That's not the interpretation of what happened here. If you have a desire to pray for people going for service, don't inflict us with your work in the spirit. It's your labor. This one is not long like this. What I'm looking for is this one is too long. Or this one. Tell him to rewrite it on a big paper. See what he wants me to read. Even those of you that read physics, their formulas are bigger than this. Now, I can use this to finish my lecture today. Give me 3 minutes, please. 3 minutes. Don't worry. 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Add two. Make it five. Okay. Now, listen. This is in my script, okay? Thus saith the Lord, your wife is not my will for you. Repent, and marry my will now. What is wrong with this statement? No, don't cry. Just tell me what is wrong. Ushers, take the mic. Because the devil is aware that this is a means that God has reserved to address his congregation. So he will like to use it. No, don't. All right, give him. I need two people to respond to this. Two people, just two. Give him now. Yes, what is wrong with that statement? Because the Bible says we need to judge prophecies so that the congregation will not be exposed to an utterance that is not from God and begin to run with a wisdom that did not come from God. Are you with me? All right. So, what's wrong with this?
Your wife is not my will for you.
Yes.
The person, that means the woman is your wife. And God said, he does not want divorce. So he has not empowered anybody to be able to divide you and your wife. Even if that marriage was a mistake, he has not empowered a man to cut asunder to that marriage.
Now, I need to say this quickly. Anybody who marry, as long as the marriage has been contracted, is the will of God for you. Has become the will of God. You may not like the woman, but unfortunately for you, marriage is a blood covenant that exists from life to death. So this prophecy contravenes God's protocol for a blood covenant. It is not God speaking. And just in case you are in the congregation and you have been praying that your wife will die, she will not die. She will not die. May the Lord grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. I heard there was in Urukum, there was a pastor that went and was talking to a lady. Asked her if she can marry him. No. The lady now said, I'm aware you are married. Say, no, God has told me that my wife is going to die. So I'm making advance. Kalamo Sele Komena. Guess what happened? The woman didn't die, it's the pastor that died. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Number two. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I will make you great. I will make you great. And when I lift you up, remember my servant that is speaking to you now. And when you become great, remember thou the servant of the Lord. What's wrong with this one? Yeah, please. What is wrong? Let's know what is wrong. It's funny, but what is wrong with it is not that it is funny. Okay. The other brother, have you written that long? It's an epistle. Please, somebody come to the rescue. What is wrong with that statement? See this brother on orange.
What's wrong there? There is no relationship between the first I and the me, the servant. So the first I, the me, defies the first I.
You have taken us to. You have not yet picked what is wrong with it.
Okay. The me is the
okay,
selfish.
Okay, let me help you. Good. The prophecy has a self-centered tendency. Now, are you with me? A self-centered tendency. Somebody can even prophesy that. Okay, maybe in this meeting now. Let me not go that far. Let me not go that far. When you find self-centered tendencies, self-centered. There was a church. God was moving. There was a mighty revival in the church. And then somebody prophesied and said that this congregation, God loves this congregation more than every congregation in the land. Wait, come on. That was what made the pastor not to be inviting other ministers to preach on his book. These are serious things. So let's find out what is wrong with it. When God is speaking, God's words are never self-centered. They are God-centered. Now, are you with me? They are what? God-centered. They reveal God's purposes, God's testimony, God's will, God's presence, God's glory. They are never self-centered. And it is, that's why, hallelujah, as a preacher, I advise that if you don't have the ability to live by faith, don't go into full-time ministry. Go and look for a job so that the ministry will not be about you. Because if it's about you, there is a defect with the structure. And if you have the gift of faith and you can live by faith, no problem. But whether you are full-time or not, let it not be about you. Now, like we can say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, I will destroy your enemies. I will destroy your enemies, deliver you from your enemies. This one looks more technical. I follow. Do you know how your enemies get destroyed? It's not because God set out to destroy them. God sets out to deliver you. That's how your enemies get destroyed. It's God's assignment to be destroying your enemy. David went to deliver a lamb that a bear carried. He didn't touch the bear. He went to deliver what? The lamb. When he finished delivering the lamb, the bear now got angry and faced David. That was when David... You get it? Now, we don't go to villages to kill people. But in the midst of delivering the people, if there a native doctor there now say, "Hey, you are..." You understand? That's the way. So God does not go there to kill the enemies. No. He goes there to deliver his people. But it's in the deliverance of his people that some enemies are become victims. Hold that in your mind. Because when I said that one, it didn't sound like something that was wrong. His emphasis is not your enemies. His emphasis is you. Your enemies may suffer because of what he's doing with you. But he didn't leave heaven to come down to fight your enemy. No. His business is strictly with you. And as he's dealing... Have you heard that psalm? He said, "For his mercies endureth forever." Who killed Pharaoh in the Red Sea? For what? His mercies endureth for... Now, the killing of Pharaoh was an act of mercy to a certain people. He didn't leave home to kill Pharaoh. He left home to show some people mercy. And in the process of administering that mercy, Pharaoh was. So in this day of fall down and die, wake up. In the people, if that prayer was so effective, a lot of people would have died in the process. The whole world would have been subject to death. Now, so that's not what God is doing. God is not out to kill anybody, but he has a contract with his people. In working on his people, some people can become victims. There are several times that God can say, "Okay, because this person has refused to stop attacking you, if the person comes again, the person will pay with his own blood." God does that, but he did that because he was doing something with you. Please get that right. Alright. Okay. Thus hear the Lord. I am in the midst of my people. Those of you gossiping and backbiting, my judgment is near. Repent, repent. Those committing sin, leave them alone. I am the Lord. The emphasis today is backbiting and gossiping. I've decided to focus on that. But leave the sinners for now. It's only... So you will know that this person has a problem, that there was a backbiting issue that affected the person. So he moved. What corrupts prophecy is self. So if there is bitterness in your heart, go and purge it. Because God's spirit might come upon you to prophesy. And if there's bitterness there, even if it comes on you, the prophecy will be corrupted. Because I said, the gift of prophecy sits on inspiration. Inspiration should manifest without contamination from your emotions, from your mind, and from your will. Is that clear? Now, if somebody is prophesying, and the person stops, just know that the person has been cut off from the line of inspiration. Because it's supposed to be going like that. Pam, 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 pam. Pam. If he says pam 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 pam, it has come. Every other thing the person says again, he's not saying it from inspiration. The mind has entered. If the mind enters, if the emotion enters, if you can trace emotion in the statement uttered, if you can trace self, it's corrupted. And that's why you need to keep purging your vessel consistently. For your inspiration to be pure and accurate. If your inspiration is not pure and accurate, you are beginning to lose your license in ministry. Yes, because there is a measure of inspiration that is attached to your preaching. So if that inspirational valve is corrupted, your preaching is corrupted. So anything that will affect your inspiration, if you are depressed, it will affect your inspiration. If you are bitter, it will affect your inspiration. So when you see depression, go and deal with it because it will affect the fountain. If you are such a person that can compete, you are competitive, that it is likely to, for you to be uttering statements under inspiration that have that texture. It means your fountain has been defiled. The great rivalry is the same thing. The inspiration has been contaminated. The major problem with amongst ministers in Makurdi is competition. Everyone wants to, you know, manifest as the king of the Zanga. As long as we are tuned that way, we don't have a message for the land. A clear-cut, distinct voice, powered by the pure inspiration of God, is not capable. It's not in view in such circumstances. There are a lot of meetings that are done in this town as counter meetings. The meeting the person is competing with is holding, the ministry the person is competing with is holding a meeting. And then when you check his own hand bill, the title of his own meeting, you will know who and who are in competition. They is corrupt, and it's the people of God that suffer. And we just go and say, amen. But the way you are judging these prophecies now, you don't judge the scenario with that level of keenness. And so a lot of corrupted fountains are still gushing forth. If you trace humanity to it, it is corrupted. The Bible says, holy men of old, they speak as they were carried. Humanity was not in it. Today, if I'm quarreling with Ms. Alpai, I come to the pulpit and say, God will. That. Now. I won't mention her name, but I'm talking to her. The fountain is corrupted. If you are truly operating by inspiration, you should be able to begin to speak by God. And what you are even saying says, you are guilty. The thing too is you are a culprit. If you are truly speaking by inspiration. And it is inspiration that makes messages fresh. If inspiration is not there, your utterance is an utterance that darkens cancer and corrupts light. Who is this that darkeneth cancer by words without knowledge? If we sit under your ministration and it's not fresh, it's not your lingo, it's not how much English you have mastered. I've heard great speakers in Lagos without the Holy Ghost. The English is correct. It's even, my God, it's in order, but it is without spirit. The increase of it brings death and dryness. By the time the 35-minute sermon is ended, you have migraine on this side, because the weight of death has come upon you. We also have prophecies that are manipulative. The person wants to achieve something with the utterance. Like the one I said the other day. The ladies rose up, a single minister, and began to prophesy. Don't fear the Lord, don't fear the Lord. Indeed, you are my servant. The grace of God is upon you. That is why I have given you this vessel that is prophesying now. Then another lady now said, I have not given you that one. It's this one that is speaking now. The whole conference, we lost the conference. I see you that you are in love. The reason why the man is not giving you attention is because of his current girlfriend. I will remove her and clear the path for you. Say the Spirit of God. We have had a lot of problems with this kind of prophecy. A lot of problems. And that's why before the person started the relationship, the person must be sure of the conviction in his heart. Are you with me? Because when I started going out with my wife, a prophet I respect now began to prophesy. I said, no, that my wife is fair. My wife is fair. My real wife is fair. When he finished his prophecy, he left. I still continue because I know how God spoke to me. I know how Baba came. Baba spoke. Hallelujah. And the prophet, the wife he now married was the wrong one. So many years later, he could not, even though he was suffering in his home, he was suffering, but he hid it because he would now say, how come prophet now missed it? His valve, the valve was corrupted. But he did not know. But we were noticing it, that he was losing his accuracy. But he did not know. He kept it for long until one day he called me and said, see me. Is this how a married man? Make sure Baba is involved. We went for crusade and he now wore his trousers. The way the belt was overly tight and the trousers was like that. I said, what was up there? He said, see. Meanwhile, that was the person that was telling me that your wife is fair. Meanwhile, the valve has already been corrupted. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thus said the Lord, you shall never suffer again for the rest of your life. I am the Lord. You have not heard this one before. You have heard this one. You used to hear it. It's very common, this one. For the rest of your life, you have not suffered. No, it's a lie. The way Jesus uttered our salvation was with suffering. So you will suffer for a positive purpose, not for suffering's sake. You will suffer for a positive purpose. Sometimes, in order for you to come to the end of your humanity, God will allow you to go through some suffering. In order for you to actually have confidence in the Spirit of God that is in your life, you go through a process sometimes. Suffering is part of the system. But the intention of the suffering is not to destroy you. The intention of the suffering is to pass you through a process so that you can know where to look and know what matters. So anybody that tells you that you will not suffer again, it is with diverse tribulations that we enter into the kingdom of God. Our brother was coming from Lagos to go to his village and check out his village. His car died somewhere in Abuja. Then he now had to take taxi, public transport. He's negotiating for the front seat because of the length of his leg. He will not suffer all those things if he was cruising in his car. But we were warned beforehand that the path of the kingdom is laden with suffering. You will go through the lot to bring the glory of God to a people. Okay, when we hold meetings here, conferences, do you know how much we spend? The last time we spent more than 4 million. Is it that the people that gave the money didn't have what to use it for? The kind of sowing some people sowed, I was even wondering if they will be able to live a normal life after that. All of that was done just to keep the kingdom of God moving. That's the way the kingdom is. We put ourselves under pressure to make sure that the kingdom advances. So this is not from God. Is that correct? Alright, so. Hallelujah. So this one is very correct, but it's for me. It's for me. Maybe I will read it to the pastors. Is for us. Be my reader. Come. Where's the? Yes. Give her a microphone. This is number one. This is one of the things that God was doing in the service while we were worshiping. It's an interpretation of what God was doing in the service. One of the interpretations.
I saw the heavens opened. I heard the Lord said, I have heard your prayer and I've come to heal the land. I'll begin to give the rains of the land in their due season, and there will be great harvest throughout the season.
Okay. This is another thing that God is doing.
I saw a mighty snake that traversed three states with pain inclusive. The snake was stuck to the ground, but when the blood of Jesus was poured on it, the snake was displaced. A sword came, cut the head, the poisonous tail, and divided the body, top and bottom. Ministers of God who were held in the snake and believers.
So there are a lot of pulpits that are regulated by the serpent of the territory. Now, listen. What do you think happens when the fountain of inspiration is corrupted? It means something else is speaking. That's how easy it is for you to become a mouthpiece for the devil. Yes, very easy. If a spirit of competition enters you, you are not the same man again. The Bible says that a spirit from the presence of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord. You are not the same man again. The pulpit has not changed, but what is speaking has changed. And you are not even aware. In a minister's conference, a major minister's conference in this country, the chief minister came and said, see, let me tell you the truth. Ministry is competition. You know who I'm talking about? You know. No. You know. He said, don't miss it. Ministry is what? Competition. You know what he has succeeded in doing? He has sown a seed that will defy the fountain of those ministers. As long as you are trying to compete, flesh is in it, the form is in it, and something else will inspire you along that line. That thing will be your sermon, that thing will be your message, and unknown to you, it will affect the people that you are raising. Just because you have a heart that is inclined unto what? Competition. At what point was Peter now a mouthpiece for the devil? The same Peter that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the same context, in the same sequence of verses, after that utterance, that mighty confession, Peter spoke by the devil. And Jesus said, get ye behind me, Satan. What was Peter's problem? He leaned to a desire of the flesh. Just by leaning to a desire of the flesh, he became an oracle for Satan. Shortly after, he prophesied accurately. What was the desire of the flesh that he leaned on? Jesus began to talk about how that he was going to die. And suddenly the guy now felt that the 12 thrones that Jesus spoke about, that they were going to sit upon to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. I hope you know a king is only relevant if he's alive. The guy said, don't say that anymore. He called him and rebuked him. Why are you talking about that? The thrones. You don't understand kingdom. It's only kings that are alive that rule. Let today's kings die so that tomorrow's will live. And you are here. See, take time. My son is 12 years old now. Take time. That desire of the flesh made him give utterance to the devil. If you know what I'm talking about, you will guard your heart diligently. Sometimes you need to come back and go and meet somebody that is very sincere, that is not afraid of you, and say, because when something is too close to your eyes, you can't read it. So you have to take it back. So, you are the one that will not know yourself more. Pulpit man, come on. If your wife, I don't know if your wife has that place in your life. That can tell you the truth and say, bro, nothing happened today. You were in the flesh. But it may be that in your own life, your wife is not like that. She's always, your own day like that, then you are blessed. My own will say it's like. She will say, she will say this is like. No, she say it's like, it's like. Now, so don't die on the pulpit. You need a very honest opinion about, and then when you notice that the thing, you withdraw. Let somebody else preach. Go back. That's why I like this one. It's once in a month. After this one, we'll go for checkup. Then you see, there'll be. Don't be preaching too much. Go and check yourself. You have heart problem. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. For you to be a fountain that men can depend on the covenant that you have with God, you will check your system. You will check your heart. And you will cry many times. You won't know at what point you will begin to like what God doesn't like. When that begins to happen. And the fact that you are a human means it will happen. Don't say, no, I have been preaching for. No, when you notice an infirmity, go to the clinic of heaven, take a bed, admit yourself, connect drip, and be there and be saying, Lord have mercy. Look, connect by yourself. By yourself. If you lose the virtue of sincerity, your fountain of inspiration is damaged. The Bible says there is a spirit in man. And the only way by which you can have understanding is by the inspiration of the Almighty. That's the only way. Meanwhile, I need you to understand that there are revelations you can articulate in the flesh. Because Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this. So there are some things you can stumble on by fleshly effort. But if you need understanding of the inspiration, it will come only by the Holy Ghost. You need understanding. It's the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth them understanding. If you lose your sincerity, your virtue of sincerity, you are false. There are several people that what they are doing is money. The people became false a long time ago. There's nothing wrong with the anointing. The anointing is still there, still valid. But what the anointing is deployed to achieve is inconsistent with the nature of the Spirit of God. As we leave here, this conference, let us live with this knowledge. Hallelujah. Are you still with me?
Yes,
live with this knowledge. That you cannot allow bitterness in your heart. You cannot be a believer that is competitive. You understand that? People will be better than you, for God's sake. They'll be better. Appreciate them. In the name of Jesus. There's nothing you can do about it. I remember a pastor. He came here and said, all these pastors that they just ordained, they don't even respect the game. Somebody, the escorts know who I'm talking about. When I began to hear those words, I knew something was wrong with the fountain. And only God knows how far I went to pray and beg God concerning that soul. But that begging did not affect the person's life. The fountain was corrupted. It is possible that the anointing that God puts upon you becomes what will make you proud. And once pride comes in, the fountain is corrupted. It will take many years before you capsize, but the fountain is already corrupted. If you are somebody that wants to go far with the Holy Spirit, please don't joke with things like pride. Don't joke with things like ego. It's a sign of corruption. So a man like Saul, called by God, anointed by God, ended up corrupted. So even though God called you, your call is valid. Your anointing is valid. Your end can be corruption. Moses ended in disobedience. Elijah ended in depression. And that's why Jesus had to become a better example than Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. The true face of the kingdom appeared beyond Elijah and beyond Moses. How did he end? He ended with prayer. Forgive them. for they know not what they do. Ah, bro, I will end with prayer on my lips. Some people will end with heartache. Check the fountain. Check the. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Check the fountain. For there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them. Yes, go on.
Ministers of God who were held in the snake.
We have a work to do in this land. We need to go beyond competition and all of that. What God has given you, He has given you. Those among us that were not privileged to go to school, that is not a hindrance to your calling. Most of the things I learned and the developments I did on my life, on my speaking, I did not do it in school.
Yes.
If you have the privilege to go, it's all right, but you can develop yourself. If you know your line of calling, develop yourself. Let nobody stay without developing himself. If you desire to be able to teach, begin to study the Bible more. We should be able to team up across board, across ministries. If we have a heart for the kingdom, teaming up will be easy. It will be easy. We can connect. Complementary work, we can connect. I told you, I said, you have an evangelical call. You are strong in it. I said, all right, next year, get set. Let's see what we can do. Let's team up. Let's find the evangelists among us and the ones we have seen, notable ones in other ministries, and let us plot a coup for this time. Yes. That's what we should be talking about. Now, yesterday in Lagos, Benny Hinn said he is weeping. He is weeping because he said that he actually died last year. And while he ascended into the heavens, God now said, no, you can't come back now. The people that can do what you can do are too few on earth. That he said that for now, the two people he has seen that is doing what he is doing is Daniel Kolenda and Christopher Clement. That he should come and begin to impart younger people, younger ministers. And there must be an alliance of younger ministers. Because evangelists have gone back to church. Instead of going into the field, our mission orientation is being lost. All these sudden changes are fountain adjustments. So if self is not the agenda, how can I not relate with a pastor that is not in my own ministry? What is ministry? Go on as we round up.
Ministers of
God, ushers, offering baskets can go round.
Who were held in the snake and believers were liberated. None was left.
That snake has to leave the ministers of this land. Go on.
The replacement snakes of over several years were scattered in several pieces, and all held inside of them were removed by a great force. God said, it is a new dawn. An awakening.
Sister Sewese, I'm not seeing your own. Cast a seed. Is this yours? It's yours. Okay. What scripture? Psalm 85 verse. All right. It's time for the body of Christ to unite. It's also time for generations to unite. We need the witness of the old generation and the upcoming generation. A tag team. That is what the spirit of Elijah was supposed to achieve. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. So bring about a coalition among generations. Like what is happening with Benny Hinn and Christopher Clement now. This is what the spirit of Elijah does. It brings about that tag team so that things, divine things will not be lost across generations. He cried in his presentation yesterday. that power evangelism is dying. And that was why heaven had to send him back. It will not die in our time. Yes. Psalms. All right. Flash the scripture. Psalms 85 from verse 8. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he shall speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Is that all? Go on. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. He said we should not turn again to folly. The foolishness of having confidence in something that is not God. We should not turn again to folly. You can stand so that we can take a pledge together. A pledge of commitment to the Lord. A pledge. That this is what the rest of our life will be spent to achieve. We'll give due diligence to ensure that we are not consumed by mundane ambition. The agents of the kingdom. We'll strive to this end that the glory of the Lord Jesus will be exalted among the nations. And until the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, we shall not stop. That every man will use his portfolio, his opportunity, his office, his money, his mind, to this end, that the fame of him who is the great monarch of Zion will be extended from place to place. This is our oath of office. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you look down from heaven and look upon every vessel that is arrayed before your presence. Those meant for leadership and government. Those meant for ministry. Those in the academic sector. Those in civil service. Those in business. Those in the judiciary. Those in politics. Our pledge is that wherever and whatever you cause us to become, we will use that which we have become to ensure that your kingdom is extended. And until the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, we will not stop. So help us, O God. Amen. Look upon the young ones, the old ones, the boys, the girls, the men, the women, and forge an army. An army of intercessors, the people that are mission-minded, an outgoing church, an outgoing people, reaching the lost, bringing many to the kingdom, discipling them in the image of Christ himself. We ask for empowerment, endowment from your spirit, that, O God, let it be that the least among us will be as strong as David. Grant, Lord, that resources will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, as we reach the underprivileged people as we preach the gospel, give us the ability also to do one or two things in their community that will change their lives. May this be our waking and sleeping body until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. We will not stop. We will not stop. So help us, O God. Amen.